Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. Welcome to the Cale Clark Show. Call in right now. Grab your spot. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call right now. 888-914-9149. You can also email the show. Great place to send show ideas, articles you might want me to comment on. Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And speaking of Twitter, the new boss of Twitter is Elon Musk, and the Wall Street Journal today came out with some really interesting interviews with people who have worked for Elon in the past, what it was like to work for him. He's a genius. Okay, I'm going to just flat out say this. This guy is a one-of-a-kind, once-in-a-generation type leader. I want to ask you, What are the best leadership traits that you've ever seen in a boss? Now, who are the worst leaders you've ever had as bosses? I don't know if you're still working there, but if you are, you might not want to say that. But not asking you necessarily to name names, but what are some of the greatest leadership traits you've ever seen? And what are the worst? Why have your bosses been good or bad leaders? I want to hear about this. But we're going to talk about Elon's leadership style. It's really intriguing. You're going to want to stick around for this, for sure. Some other fun stuff coming up as well. We're all about faith, facts, and fun on the Cale Clark Show. And I want to start with this also, because it is December the 1st. It is December the 1st. And that means that those of you who are into Advent calendars, and I'm not sure if you are or not, but those of you who are into Advent calendars, you're opening up your Advent calendar today. Why? Because traditionally, Advent calendars do start on December the 1st. The reason why, now I know we're already into Advent, clearly. You've just heard an Advent inspiration from Father Rocky. But Advent calendars traditionally start on December the 1st because of the fact that the first day of Advent moves around a lot every year, depending on, you know, just the vagaries of the year. It's never on the same day. So I don't know, are you guys into this? My wife Trish has been working really, really hard. She's become kind of crafty in recent years, and so She basically made her own Advent calendar for Michaela, for our daughter Michaela, and she decided to make it out of wooden blocks and made a block for each day. She painted it with like craft paint, and it's really beautiful. I'm really proud of her. She kind of got the idea from Pinterest. And obviously what happens with Advent calendars is that every day there's sometimes a little gift inside for every day. But she got this really interesting idea from a Catholic mom that she got in touch with on Pinterest. And so what this mom did for her Advent calendar for her kids is that on certain days during the calendar, not every day, but instead of getting a little gift or maybe a little candy or a little toy, whatever, instead there was an envelope, and the child had to open up the envelope. And the idea was, hey, today you have to make a gift of yourself. Instead of getting a gift, you have to be a gift. You have to make of yourself a gift to somebody else. So it could be anything as simple as notice somebody who needs some help and offer to help them. I don't know. So here's a question for you. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. Are you into Advent calendars? Do you make your own Advent calendars? What do you put in them? What do you put in the different, if you do make your own, what do you put in the box for each day? And I'm also curious, so those of you who are parents out there, if you've ever tried this gift of self idea in an Advent calendar. I need some ideas. We need to put some gifts of self in there. So what are some ideas that you would share with me? I'd love to hear them. And also you can call in 888-914-9149 and tell me what's the craziest Advent calendar that you've ever seen. And I saw some doozies, by the way. I really saw some doozies in an article in Hello Magazine. I got to share some of this stuff with you because I was a little bit unaware of how weird Advent calendars can be. There's literally an Advent calendar for almost anything these days. One that I saw was really interesting, and they had this piece in Hello Magazine. It was 33 weird but wonderful Advent calendars you'll find on the internet. You can order these if you want. Some of them I can't really get into on the air for obvious reasons, but this one is really interesting. It was a gramophone musical Advent calendar. This is really cool. It's a mini record player, and it comes with 24 mini vinyl records, and each one has a different Christmas song on it, and you just play it on your mini gramophone, your mini record player. That's a cool one. That's a really cool Advent calendar. There, of course, are, you know, sort of the stock ones you might expect. There is a cheese Advent calendar, which might be considered pretty cheesy, but it's got 24 mini cheeses, you know, one for each day. Applewood cheese, Ilchester cheese with cranberries, that sounds pretty good. Gingerbread cheese, wow, I don't know about that one, but there are, of course, dog biscuit Advent calendars as well. And I said, hey, Trish, you know there are dog biscuit Advent calendars? And she actually said, yeah, I know, I've already bought one for each of our two dogs. So I guess they're going to enjoy Advent too. There are all kinds of things out there. There are hot chocolate Advent calendars. Some of the Advent calendars are only for the 12 days of Christmas, so there's like 12 different hot chocolates that you can try. There's a Friends, if you remember the Friends, of course you remember the Friends TV series. Is this really necessary? Do we really need to have a Friends Advent calendar? But at any rate, there is one for those of you who can't get enough of David Schwimmer. There is one. Matthew, who's the Matthew? What's his name? He's got a book out now.
LeBlanc?
Matt LeBlanc. That's right. Yeah. No, not Matt LeBlanc. The other guy. I don't know. Anyway, so he's a Canadian. Actually, he's got a book out now. It's I don't know about all about his experiences in Hollywood. You guys know his name. You can tell me. 888-914-9149. I'm drawing a blank right now. Well, this is really one. I don't like this one. There's a selfie Advent calendar. So for every day, they give you like a disguise that you can wear, and you can take a selfie of yourself. There is like Christmas tree glasses you can put on. So the idea is like show people on social media how much of a narcissist you are, I guess. Anyway, there's this 24 selfies for Christmas Advent calendar. Gourmet popcorn Advent calendars. Producer Jim, you and I would love this one. BrewDog has a 24 beer Advent calendar. Every day you can open up your BrewDog Advent calendar and try a different beer. There are 14 new beers for 2022, 6 new ones for Christmas, and 4 that you can only get if you order the BrewDog calendar online. That sounds pretty good.
It's making me thirsty, Cal.
You like that?
Love it.
I wonder if they carry that at Benny's Beverage Depot. That's where I bought some beer for you last time I was in town at Vernon Hills, Illinois. That I couldn't believe how much stuff was in there. That was wild. Of course, enjoyed in moderation. Of course. I can't believe this. There are mincemeat pie Advent calendars, mini mincemeat pies. I don't know if that would be a top seller, but there are chili sauce Advent calendars. 24. This is really cool. All you relevant radio aficionados will love this. I should buy this from Mike Kendall, VP of Programming at Relevant Radio. He would love this. It's a retro radio Advent calendar, Producer Jim. This is really cool. It's made by a company called Hanes, not the underwear company, but H-A-Y-N-E-S. It's the Hanes Retro Radio Advent Calendar. Not the Relevant Radio, but the Retro Radio Advent Calendar. So what you can do with this is really cool. So for every day of the Advent calendar, there's a different part, a mechanical part in the box. And the idea is these parts will help you build a working FM radio. It's kind of got throwback vibes. It looks really retro. I love it. So you can make a working FM radio. We have a lot of FM stations now that we've acquired for Relevant Radio. We just keep picking them up. And with your help, that's what's enabling us to blanket the United States of America with the good news of the gospel. This is incredible. So I love this. I love this. You could have your radio up and running by Christmas Day, and you could tune in to the Cale Clark Show. How about that? That's cool. So I had no idea, guys. I had no idea that there were so many weird, wacky, and wonderful Advent calendar ideas. Here's one. Maybe I should use this because there's a beard oil Advent calendar. It's 24 days. First, when I saw it, I was a little confused. It's from a company called the Bearded Man Company, and it's 24 days of beard treats. And I thought, are these things that you hide in your beard and pull them out when you're hungry or something? I don't know. Some of you might know I have a beard right now. Now, we of course, the man of the moment at Christmas has a beard. Of course, that would be Santa himself, or maybe it's John Hamm. He's appeared in a few commercials in that role, John Hamm being from St. Louis, as you are, Jim. I'm on a weird rabbit trail right now. Okay, let's get out of here. But the Beard Oil Advent Calendar, that's really what's in here. There are 24 2-milliliter glass bottles filled with a different scented beard oil each day, ensuring that your beard will not only be great-looking, great-feeling, but great-smelling during the countdown to Christmas. There is the Harry Potter Sock Advent Calendar. You get a Harry Potter-themed sock, maybe the Hogwarts sock. Might be yours if you pull that out on a particular day. And yeah, somebody say Harry Potter's of the enemy. I don't want to hear that. So if you're going to call in, tell me that. I don't want to hear that. 888-914-9149. But what are some of the gift of self ideas you'd like to see in an Advent calendar? 888-914-9149. Okay, so just a couple other things. There are coffee pod Advent calendars. This would be a good one for Josh Raymond, the host of The Inner Life. There's a Doctor Who TARDIS Advent calendar. So if you're a diehard Doctor Who fan, if you know, I'm not, but my wife is big time, and so is Josh Raymond. Josh Raymond is a big fan of the TARDIS. I've been to his home. There's some TARDIS-themed pieces of art in his home. That's a fact. I don't know if Josh wants you to know that, but I just told you. So if you want to know what to get Josh, there you go. He's going to get flooded with mail, all these Doctor Who things now. But yeah, the TARDIS, of course, this iconic time machine, it looks like a phone booth. Of course, it is a phone booth, I guess, the TARDIS. So you can get a Doctor Who collectible for every day of Advent. Now this takes a little bit away from the religious meaning of Advent, to say the least. There are Yankee candle Advent calendars. Okay, we could go on and on with this. But I couldn't believe all the crazy Advent calendars I've seen. What's the craziest one you've ever seen? Love to hear about it. Do you make your own Advent calendars? Do you do this for your family? Well, I really like this idea of the gift of self. Instead of getting a gift, that you pull out a gift of self, something you could do for somebody else. I like that. Let's go to the phones right now. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Jim in Wisconsin. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
This isn't so much a calendar idea, but a way of keeping track of each day in Advent. There's a custom of any time you do a good deed, that you take a piece of straw and you would put it in the empty crib in your manger set. And the goal is to get the kids to help make Jesus as comfortable as possible for Christmas Day. And I think it was even a custom that Padre Pio did with twigs.
Oh, interesting. Padre Pio, did he originate this custom? It's funny that you mentioned this, Jim, because another caller called in, I think it was yesterday, said the exact same thing, that they had this idea. And I'd never heard of this before, but I think it's really a great idea that kids can kind of, you know, soften the landing for baby Jesus, if you will. And hey, not that Mary dropped him into the manger or anything like that, but having said that, this idea that our good deeds can comfort the Lord and as well as, of course, bring the love of Christ to every person. I really like that idea. This is something that we've definitely got to incorporate in our home this year. Thanks for that, Jim. Really appreciate that. That's a really cool idea. It was Jim in Wisconsin. So if you want to call in, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Hey, by the way, don't stay tuned. We got to take a little break right now, but you can call in about this. Plus, I want to know, who are the best and worst bosses that you ever had? And producer Jim, please don't say it's me. Please don't say it's me. You don't have to answer that right now. But
you are the best.
I'm the best. Okay. Yes, your performance review is coming up tomorrow. Interesting that you said that. What timing? Just kidding. But what are the best leadership traits you've ever seen in an employer, in a boss? And what are the worst? Who are the worst? Some of the worst? You don't have to name names, but I'd love to hear your war stories. 888-914-9149. The reason why I say that is because I'm going to be sharing with you what some ex Elon Musk employees thought about him as a leader, as a boss. Really intriguing. The Wall Street Journal interviewed some people who used to work for Elon as various companies, whether it be Tesla or SpaceX. And obviously, as you know, he's just taken over Twitter, which I'm cool with this. I'm really bullish about this. So I want to hear your best and worst leadership traits you've seen in a boss. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Today, we'd like to thank Matthew, who's listening in New Hampshire, for donating his Mercedes. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car today.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Hey, I want to tell you something. The Merry Beggars have something absolutely amazing in store for you. The Merry Beggars, of course, is the entertainment division of Relevant Radio. Because, you know, you're just not getting entertained enough through my show or other shows. So, no, they do such a great job. It's amazing. Headed up by Peter Atkinson. He's just a great, great dude. And they really have cooked up something amazing for you this Advent. And it starts this coming Sunday night. It's called Christmas Live. It's a one-hour variety show that celebrates Advent, the joy of the Christmas season, lots of laughs, lots of great musical performances, and you'll just want to sing right along with it. Now, it's going to be each Sunday night at 6 p.m. starting this Sunday to prepare you for Christmas. So check it out this weekend only on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And of course, another thing, of course, that the Merry Beggars do in Advent is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, a great, great audio dramatization of it. My daughter, Michaela, completely loved it. Listened to all the episodes as soon as they came out. And so you can check that out as well on Relevant Radio and on our app. And speaking of A Christmas Carol, Scrooge was a pretty bad boss, wouldn't you say, until he saw the light. He wasn't cool. He wasn't very nice to Tiny Tim and really anybody else, but you might have had a bad boss. You might have had a boss that was amazing, a great leader. So what are some of the greatest or worst leadership traits that you've seen in a boss? I want to hear about this. 888-914-9149. Be careful, though, if you're currently employed by this person. Just understand that this could be the greatest speech that you'll ever regret if you're about to tell me about this. But 888-914-9149. You can change your name to protect the innocent. But Elon Musk, now, he is a demanding person to work for, that is for sure. And you might have heard, of course, when he purchased Twitter, he's taking the company private, he cut 50% of the Twitter workforce. And I don't know about you, but if you're a Twitter user, I'm a Twitter user. I like Twitter. It is absolutely my favorite social media platform. I haven't been on Facebook in a long time. Do you think I should go back? Would you become friends with me on Facebook if I went back on Facebook? I don't. There's certain things about it that I just never really liked, and how they're manipulating people's feeds, and Zuckerberg, the man behind the curtain, what is he doing there? I don't know. Lots of things we could talk about with respect to Facebook, but I know a lot of you guys use it religiously. I like Twitter because I just find it so intriguing. Now, Twitter can be amazing. It can be a hellscape as well, depending on how you use it and what's going on, but who you're following. But I get a lot of ideas from Twitter. I get a lot of follow a lot of really interesting people on Twitter. You can follow me there as well at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E Clark with an E. Now I'll say this: I've noticed, if anything, Twitter has improved a lot since Elon's taken over. So you have to wonder, what were the other 50% of the employees doing who no longer work there? What were their functions? I don't know. Well, he's known for, when he takes over a company or starts a company, he makes things pretty lean. Well, the Wall Street Journal has interviewed some people who used to work for him at Tesla, at SpaceX. And I think it's really an intriguing insight into what it's like to work for this guy. So check out this clip. We're going to play a couple of clips for you. This is a guy named Carl Medlock. Check this out.
If you're talking to Elon or you want to have a conversation with Elon and you get that opportunity to talk to Elon, you need to be concise, quick.
There's definitely 2 a.m. texts and 6 a.m. conference calls.
When I used to go into meetings with him, I used to always stop by our barista and I would get a couple espressos and chug that down and then go into the meeting.
He's never said this, but I've watched it. You have 30 seconds to make your point.
Elon Musk is known by his employees to be intense. When he took over Tesla in 2008, he sent the company into crisis mode to jumpstart his vision of how to reinvent the auto industry. Now, he appears to be using a similar management playbook to remake Twitter. We spoke with former Tesla and SpaceX employees to better understand how Musk became known for his cutthroat and tireless management style, and what that may mean for his future employees. Step one for Musk is to rally employees around a lofty company mission. It's exactly what inspired Carl Medlock to join Tesla in 2009.
We were all so excited about the brand. I mean, we're all working 80, 100 hours a week. We kind of lost track of our families, our passions, our hobbies, and all that stuff, but we loved what we were doing.
All right, hang on here for a second. Okay, so that was Carl Medlock, who used to work for Elon Musk at Tesla. Did you hear that last quote? He said, "We used to work 80 to 100 hours each week. We kind of lost track of our families." Where are they? They've left. They've left you. They've lost track of their families. They lost track of their passions, their hobbies. This doesn't exactly sound like a balanced life. However, a lot of people who used to do this, they would probably say this was maybe the best time of their lives. Is this healthy? I don't know what you think about this. 888-914-9149. And this is a really... We'll put the link in the show notes, by the way. This was a video piece that was put together by Josephine Chu of the Wall Street Journal, interviewing people who used to work for Elon Musk. So Carl Medlock used to work for him at Tesla. Now he runs his own electric vehicle repair shop in the Seattle area. It's kind of interesting. And I'm sure there'll be lots of those popping up in the years to come. But here's somebody else who used to work for him, for Elon Musk, at SpaceX, which is not a public company. But as you know, they've been sending out rockets. The goal is to get people to Mars and live there. So check out what Garrett Riesman had to say here. Check this out.
Garrett Riesman was similarly inspired by the mission of SpaceX and joined in 2011.
It's a very demanding environment. But by and large, it's not because of him cracking the whip. You know, making human life multiplanetary, getting to Mars, having a colony on Mars, is something that motivates pretty much everybody there at SpaceX.
Okay, so the mission, that's something that obviously draws a lot of people in. Everybody has to buy into the mission. Hey, we have a great mission here at Relevant Radio. This is the most inspiring mission in the world, with apologies to those who want to colonize Mars. We want to save people on planet Earth. We may not be able to save the planet from getting hit by an asteroid, but hey, we want to save people's eternal souls, because no matter what happens to us, we are going to live forever somewhere. We want to bring Christ to the world through the media. That's what we're all about here at Relevant Radio. So it's a great mission. It's a fantastic mission. And Father Rocky, of course, our CEO, models that every day for us and really lives that out so well. So the power of example is really important, too. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. So the mission at Twitter, now Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. He's doing something a little bit different with that company than he is doing with Tesla, with SpaceX. The goals may not be as inspiring. Maybe they are as inspiring. He wants to try to protect free speech. I think there's more to it than that. I don't think he just bought Twitter to try to protect free speech. He tweeted something, it was a day or two ago, where he basically said, hey, if free speech is shut down, even in America, then the road leads to nowhere but tyranny. He said something to that effect the other day, and I think he's right about that. But I think there's more to it. I think he wants to own a social media platform. I think it's going to be integrated somehow with Tesla, because as you know, every Tesla, if you've seen one, if you've ridden in one, they have a massive screen. And once they get the self-driving going, people are going to be, you know, on those screens. They're going to be listening to maybe Relevant Radio. They're going to be doing social stuff. I think he wants his own system. It's going to be tied into that somehow. I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe you have some ideas on that. But what was he like as a boss? Well, Obviously, 80 to 100 hour weeks were de rigueur. Like this was interesting. So Tesla went through a couple of different crises, and Musk, I mean, the company was hanging by a thread a couple of times in 2008, financial crisis, also 2012, trying to get the Model S into production. Check this out. Here's another clip from the Wall Street Journal.
And Musk has used this idea of hardcore to rally his team over the years as they approach hard challenges. For example, in 2012, when Tesla was preparing to ramp up production of the Model S luxury sedan, Musk sent his team an email with the subject line, "Ultra Hardcore," telling them to prepare for a level of intensity that most of them had never experienced before. About 3 weeks after taking over at Twitter, Musk sent a similar email.
All right, it's funny, and you can't see this, obviously. This is in the video clip, but they did have a couple shots of the emails that he sent. So Elon called his work expectations hardcore. And the 80 to 100 hour weeks were kind of expected every week. And also, back in 2012, when he was really trying to save Tesla, he was sleeping on the factory floor. He sent an email to everybody saying, "Ultra hardcore, we've got to really go hardcore with this. These 80 hour weeks are expected." He sent a similar email just a few days ago after he bought Twitter. And it was almost the exact same playbook. This one was titled, "Extremely Hardcore." Okay, so, but he does lead by example, though. This is one thing that you have to say about him. Check out this clip.
Musk himself leads by hardcore example.
I sleep on the couch over there. Last time I was here, I actually slept literally on the floor because the couch was too narrow.
I showed up at work early one day, and it was just me and him and one security guy in the entire 5.5 million square feet. And I didn't know he was there, right? And at the factory, when you there's walkways and safety areas and stuff like that. When nobody's there, I just got on a bicycle riding around, and here Elon is asleep on this engineer's desk.
In November, Musk tweeted that he was sleeping at Twitter's offices in San Francisco. And it's not just his time, but his money.
How much did you put into this company?
Oh, man, about $55 million.
In 2008, when Tesla was at its darkest moment, and he put in his personal last millions of dollars to fund it, he was even, you know, couch surfing in Menlo Park and paying my business expenses with personal credit card debt, right? His approach is to do anything required to keep his businesses competitive.
At any cost, and great personal cost as well. $55 million. It's a lot of people. I got to hand it to Musk, because when Musk sold PayPal, that was his first big venture, he made a killing off of that. Now, most people would have ridden off into the sunset after that, but he didn't. He basically took all the money he got from PayPal, and I can't remember how much that was. Maybe producer Jamie can look that up, but I think it was like $250 million or something like that. I can't remember. But and he plowed that into Tesla, and he, if Tesla failed, he would have had nothing. He took the risk. This guy is a risk taker. Led by example, sleeping on couches, sleeping on the factory floor, putting up his own money. He's got skin in the game. There's no question about it. And when it comes to leadership, I don't think the people respect leaders unless they have skin in the game. And he's tied into the mission. There's no question. And so many people have quit his companies, whether it be SpaceX, whether it be Tesla, Twitter. How many employees took the bailout? He basically gave them a chance. You can leave now if you want. Things are going to be different around here. You can leave now. And many said, okay, well, we'll take the package and go. We don't want to work for this guy because they can't keep up with him. And they know it's going to be demanding. But another thing that was in the piece that I'm not going to play this clip, but people who do stick around, who kind of are willing to tough it out and make the commitment, they kind of feel like they're Navy SEALs, like they're special forces. Like, man, we're good enough that he wants to keep us around, and he wants elite talent, elite engineering talent. He wants one guy that can do the work of 100 people or be as smart as 100 people. By the way, okay, just thanks, Jim. Elon made $165 million from the deal for PayPal. So there you go. Like I said, that would have been a great career for a lot of people. They would have called it a day and just played golf for the rest of their life. He didn't do that. Here's another thing about Musk as well, his leadership approach. He doesn't believe in a traditional hierarchy, like a military style hierarchy, where if you want to get something to him, you got to go through all these layers of middle management. Some of you guys work in companies where it is like that. And he always says, look, at Tesla, I don't care where the ideas come from. It could be from the guy who you know, it's an important job. It's dignified work. The person who cleans the office, he might have an idea for Tesla that would really work. And he can come straight to me. Anybody can come straight to me with an idea. Now, it better be a good idea because you're not going to want to waste his time. But anybody can come to him with an idea because he doesn't care about the source, where it comes from. So you don't have to pass it through layers of management. He likes to move fast, nimble, to stay competitive, stay aggressive. So much bureaucracy can hinder progress and ideas. And so there's no real chain of command there. And the reverse is true as well. The converse is true too. He can come to any employee. If he likes what you're doing, he can go straight to you and say, man, I want you to keep doing this. I want to develop this. So I think it's really intriguing. So the management style of Elon Musk, I'm sure people write books about this in the years to come. But hey, I want to hear about maybe some of the best leadership you've ever experienced in the workplace. Maybe some of the worst as well. What not to do. Call in right now, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Let's go to Tom in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Tom.
Hello there.
Hey. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
You were asking about bad employers and all of that. I was always taught in business classes at the university that you criticize in private, but you praise your employees in public. And I worked at a men's clothing store when I was in college, and he had this lovely knack of yelling at you and screaming at you in front of other employees and customers. But if he had anything nice to say, which was rare, he would call you into his office to do that.
Wow. That's
not a good way to build morale.
Yeah, to say the least. Everybody's kind of walking on eggshells. Ooh, yeah, calling out people in public, yeah. That rarely works as a motivational tactic, I would think. So, hey, thanks for that call, Tom. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate that. If you have an insight you want to share, maybe a great leadership trait, 888-914-9149, or what are some of the worst? You can also call in 888-914-9149. Let's go to another Tom in Chino Hills, California. Toms are wild, I guess, today on the phones here. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Cale. Hey, just a couple of comments. You had mentioned about the Critch idea, for kids, which is a great idea. I'm going to pass that along and use it in my family.
That's really cool.
But you did mention it's a great idea for kids to put some hay under there as a soft spot for kids. And I'm thinking, gosh, what about adults? I've got a lazy, she's maybe oblivious, maybe not lazy, daughter-in-law who never helps out, never helps with the meals when she comes over or cleaning up. And this would be a great way to give her an idea that, hey, you know, it'd be good to pitch in without having to say, hey, get off your butt. I can just say, hey, we got this great idea. You know, you could pitch in with the dishes or whatever, and it, won't create a problem. It's just a great idea.
Yeah, that's interesting. How do you deal with that? You could give her, well, I don't know if she might be listening right now. You never know, but... Tom, you could give her an advent calendar where every single day she's pulling out the thing, hoping to get a gift, and it's one of these gift of self things. And we'd like you to do the dishes next time you're here. that could be one way. Or I don't know what has somebody in the family ever pulled her aside and maybe talked to her about this? Has that ever happened?
I don't think so. I wish they would. It's getting to be a bit of an aggravation. Everyone else is chipping in, and she's just. Kind of cruising. I think she's just kind of a princess. She grew up having everything taken care of. So, you know, I'll give her a pass, you know, which brings me to my second comment, Cale.
Okay. Yeah.
The best and the worst boss. I had a great boss. She was a nurse that worked in the human services, our social services department in our district. And I worked under her for 15 years. And she told me, Tom, instead of being critical of people who maybe make bad decisions or, you know, who make, mindless decisions, always consider that they have good intentions and try to see it from their perspective. And boy, that really made a difference for me because she always treated me that way. If I made a mistake, she would say, you know, well, you made a mistake. Learn from it and let's move on. Mm. And I had another boss. He was a vice principal, and he was the absolute worst. Whenever I made a mistake, he would write up a memo to my boss, his boss, my boss, and say, you know, he made this mistake. And I said, you know, rather than doing that, could you come to me first? And he says, well, I have to document. That's my job, to document. And I didn't understand it, but he was the absolute worst. We had nothing but problems. I had to leave after a while just because it was such an aggravation. So, you know, finding the good in people's intentions was a great suggestion for me, which I've used throughout my life.
Yeah, Tom, that's actually a really interesting point, especially in the workplace as you're trying to navigate maybe somebody who you directly report to and that relationship. I mean, we're in the relationship business, right? Like all of this stuff, it's all about relationships. And even I would say conflict in the workplace or in personal relationships. You mentioned what's going on with your daughter-in-law. Conflict is part of relationship growth. And a lot of people want to avoid conflict at all costs. It's not necessarily a bad thing if it's done constructively. And that's easier said than done, too, of course. There's some strategies, of course, that maybe we can glom onto for that. But Tom, one of the interesting things that you said was that you didn't quite say it in these words, but when somebody does something like that, like let's say a boss calls their employees out on the carpet in front of everybody else, and it's humiliating stuff. Somehow in their mind, they think that this is a good idea. Like somehow, I don't know where they got it from, whether it's from maybe a coach who used to do that, berate his players. Maybe they're on a team this is the only way to be a leader. This is the only way to lead. They're obviously getting it from somewhere, and they think that it's a good idea. They think it's actually going to work. Like I'm sure their intent is not for everybody to think they're the world's greatest jerk. I mean, they think this is somehow going to work, as misguided as it might be. And so I think one of the key things to do is just try to talk to this person and listen and try to figure out where they're coming from. I think that is so important, just to ask questions and just try to suss out where is this coming from. Because with most people, I don't think if you tell them, oh, you're wrong, they're not going to listen to you. They think that they're correct. They're convinced that they're right for whatever reason. At least trying to listen as much as you can and get as much information as you can, and then try to deal with it. Anyways, interesting phone call, Tom. I really appreciate you listening. Great call, Tom in Chino Hills, California. Call back anytime. Hey, let's go out. Let's stick in California. Let's stick to the left coast. Not everyone's leaning left in the left coast. I know that. Let's go to Mark in San Diego. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Cale, thanks for having me on.
I had
a great mentor of mine that what he would do is he would know what the end goal is. He would know how to get there. And then what he would do to the employees and the subordinates, he would kind of talk about how to get there. And then he would lead the conversation, and an employee would say, hey, well, what if we do this? And he knows that's exactly what needs to happen. And he's like, that's a great idea. That's fantastic. Yeah, let's do that. And then what that does is now the subordinate takes that as his idea, and it becomes personal that he is successful in achieving that. And so just kind of lead them down the path, and it becomes a personal goal for them to be successful, which is obviously what everybody wants. So I thought that was great.
I think that is fantastic, Mark. Really appreciate that. Hey, call back anytime, Mark, out in San Diego. Some of you guys might be on the freeways out in California. Please give me a call, 888-914-9149. I think this idea of ownership is really important, I think, in the workplace. And if you're going to be a great performer, a great worker, glorify God in the workplace, I think ownership is really important. You know, there's a former Navy SEAL. He gets hired to do a lot of corporate speaking events. He's written a book. His name's Jocko Willink. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. I'm sure you have. He's written a book called Extreme Ownership. That's the name of the book, how Navy SEALs lead, you know, how their teams lead. And I think a lot of lessons you can apply, of course, from their experiences. But extreme ownership, it's really, really important. So many things we could say about that. We got to take a quick break right now. Producer Jim says we're up against it. So, hey, hang on. If you're still on the line, hang on. But you can call in too, 888-914-9149. We're having a fun discussion on the Cale Clark Show. It's really your show. Call in. I want to hear what you have to say. 888-914-9149. Be right back. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forrester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Faith, facts and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. If you're in your car, you're on Bluetooth, you can do it safely. Give me a call, 888-914-9149, wherever you might be. You might be listening on the Relevant Radio app or one of our almost 200 stations all across the country. Hey, you might want to order that Advent calendar I was talking about earlier. You can build your own FM radio. How about that? Build your own ham radio and tune into Relevant Radio. Call in. We're talking about what makes a great boss. What are some of the maybe bad examples you've seen? I know, Producer Jim, you're always telling me about bosses that you've had in the industry in the past and some of your frustrations. And some of the stories are funny, some not so funny, but it's always a blessing when you're in a place where you feel nurtured, right?
It really is. And I really do have to say Father Rocky definitely sets the gold standard as bosses go. I got to sit with him at lunch today. And, you know, just the community he's built here at Relevant Radio, it's a blessing.
It really is, you know, and like we talked about earlier, we were so thankful to Father Rocky for looking after us like a good dad. And I've talked on the show about this incredible day of formation that he set up for us. It was just so practical. We just kind of learned together as a family. You got to love that. You got to love that. And something a previous caller said to me just before the break kind of got me thinking. Here's something that I once heard. Maybe you can try this with your boss. This is a great idea. We talked about the importance of listening and ownership and things like that. Here's a question that you can ask your direct report. You can ask them, hey, what do I need to do to be successful in this organization? And I don't really care what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter. What do I need to do to be successful in this organization? 9 times out of 10, your boss will tell you the answer. They'll tell you. And here's the sidebar benefit of this as well. Not only will you then have the roadmap for what you need to do, but secondly, hopefully you'll have a mentor as well. Because then if this guy has told you or this gal has told you, hey, this is what you need. This is what you need to do. This is what I want to see. They will then hopefully they'll be invested in you getting to that point. So I think that's a good question to ask. What do I need to do to be successful in this organization? What does success look like? Interesting. Anyways, want to hear from you guys. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Hey, let's go to Sue in Wisconsin. Lots of calls from Wisconsin today. Hey, Sue.
Hi. I just want to tell you, this is a phenomenal discussion. This should be something that high school students should hear, college students in business should hear. So I hope it's recorded, and I hope you play it again when you've got, you know, replays of the show, if you ever do. It is just phenomenal. So thank you so much. Just great, great, great discussion and information. I didn't know a lot about Elon Musk until he was on Saturday Night Live, and then he kind of got talked about a little bit more. I wasn't on Twitter. I thought he was kind of odd. But I will just say, I think what an amazing example he is for leadership that should be followed by everybody in this country. I think his work ethic is phenomenal. All the great companies that helped start our country had hardworking, incredible people with an incredible work ethic. And I think when he's not a narcissist, he could be. I don't think he's a vicious guy. I don't think he's crazy. I think he's, you know, different. But I think we need people who have a hardcore, deep belief so that people can witness that and work under that. Because I think we've gone to this lazy-daisy group of people now that wear their pajamas to work. They have, you know, M&M and Pez dispensers, bring your dog, lay around, and it's just such a great place to work because it's so casual. You know, casual day is every day. Nobody wears a suit and tie. Nobody dresses up. Nobody looks professional. You know, they wear their slippers and their pajamas to work. I don't think that's a great way to do that. I mean, one of the things everybody tells you is that one way you can be really alert is when you sit up straight. When you sit up straight, you're not laying down or you're relaxing or in, you know, a reclining chair. You're supposed to sit up straight to keep your brain alert, et cetera. So I think Musk has set a great example for that.
Wow. Are you still there, Sue? Do we lose you? Okay. So, did we just lose that call, Producer Jim?
I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there? Okay, great, great, great. I just thought you just kind of cut off. Okay, well, wow, Sue, I was mesmerized listening to you there. First of all, thank you so much for your kind words. I'm really glad you're enjoying the program, the discussion. Yeah, we do have replays of the show, and we pick what we think are maybe the two best shows that we've done during the week. We put them on the weekend, and also, of course, you can access any of the episodes at any time through relevantradio.com or in podcast form through the app. You can share it with a friend. Of course, we're on all the major platforms as well, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, you name it. But the Relevant Radio app is really the place to go. And so thanks so much for that. And yeah, so many things that you said are intriguing. And one of the things that you said was kind of got me thinking, the way people are dressing in the workplace, I think there's been kind of a pendulum's always kind of swinging back and forth, but especially now that the return to office mandates are in full effect for a lot of firms. And by the way, Musk was like that with Twitter as well. He said, look, you need to get back to the office. You need to get back to the office. He does not like remote workers. He wants everybody in the same building. And he made that a priority at Twitter. Hey, if you're remote, if you can't move here, if you can't work in the headquarters, then I really have to question, you know, what's going on here. And there's something to that, because there are synergies that can happen. Sometimes it's impossible for people to work live. I think some people are loners. They don't want to work with colleagues, and maybe they work better that way. But I think there's certain synergies. There's things that you cannot recapture in a Zoom meeting. And I've been in a lot of Zoom meetings. I'm sure you have as well. And yeah, you're seeing the people, but you don't pick up on all the nonverbals. You don't pick up on the subtleties of communication. You know, just little things that people say and do. And it's, I think it's just for understanding, for being on the same page, I think it's crucial. It's crucial. Something you said about the way people dress too. I mean, I don't want to be accused of being a fuddy-duddy here, but my daughter goes to a school where they wear uniforms. And I definitely believe in the individuality of children. You got to nurture that. You don't want people to be robots. But at the same time, like when I drive past public schools and I see kids walking around, man, they're just dressed like schlubs. Like, I mean, how in the world can you think of this as kind of your job? Because if you're a student, that's your job to be a student, right? And it's your job to learn. That's your. You mentioned posture, sitting up straight. It's kind of a Catholic idea. The idea that the body informs the soul. This is why we do a lot of what we do in Catholic worship, right? We kneel before the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. We bless ourselves with holy water. You know, we want to serve God with body and soul. And posture is so important. I mentioned Peter Atkinson from the Merry Beggars. He has a standing desk. Some guys are into this. I haven't made the leap yet. I probably should burn some extra calories. But I know Patrick Madrid does his show standing up. That's a little inside baseball for you. I don't know. So I just think in so many ways that is true. The pride that we take in the way that we look and the way we want to present ourselves as professional, it does kind of bleed over into our work, I think, in some ways. How can it not? If you're looking at this real casually, I don't know. Again, like this might be a slightly old-fashioned way of looking at things, but I don't know. See what you think. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Patrick in Irvine, California. Hi, Patrick.
Oh, hi. Anyway, my name is Patrick Thompson, Irvine, California. There's an aircraft overhead. And I just want to share that I'm 77 years old. I've had a lot of jobs in my life. I've had a lot of bosses. And for me, I think the most important thing is that there's a relationship between my boss and myself, that my boss takes the time to learn about my life and vice versa. And I know that when that happens, I'll do anything for my boss.
That's amazing, because that really speaks to the loyalty that inspires. That, hey, I'll run through a brick wall for this guy. And I do think I was watching a really interesting documentary. As you know, I'm a sports fan. I was watching a documentary last night on Netflix. Maybe we'll talk about this maybe a little bit more tomorrow. It was called The Redeem Team. It's about the U.S. basketball team that recaptured the gold at the Beijing Olympics after having been humiliated in the previous games in Athens in 2004. And they spent so much time together off the court, team building. It's really, really important. Well, hey, I'm glad for you guys being part of the team here at Relevant Radio. We're all in this together, the Relevant Radio family. Thanks for listening today. I'm K.O. Clark. Jim Shaper produced. Thomas Essinger took your phone calls. Hey, if you didn't get through, call back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Trending and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.